You guys, we're going to do something kind of special today, all right? I'm not going to preach at you. I'm going to reach into you. That's all right. Is that okay? Are you sure? Sometimes when we reach in, we find out different things about ourselves. Okay? So I just want to make sure. I'm going to kind of be everywhere, so we might have some feedback. I'm just saying. Okay? Everybody good with that? Is that okay? If you've been on the hell stage, you'll know what feedback is. I'd like to take just a second, real quick, just to kind of pray over what we're doing right now. Okay? Is that all right? Dear Heavenly Father, in your Son's name, the name that you hold above all other names, in the name of Jesus, we come to you and we're celebrating the lives that have rededicated and also given their life to you for the very first time, for the healings that have happened and the baptism in the Holy Ghost that have happened. Lord, we love you and we worship you, Lord God. I'm asking you to bless this time because it says we're going to defeat these things by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. So, Father, I ask that you pour over these that are going to testify this morning. We love you and we worship you. In Christ's sweet and holy name, all of God's kids said,
amen.
Amen. I just want to bring up a scripture real quick. It's Jude 22 and 23. And you might see it. It'll come up on the screen just here in a second. It says, be merciful to those who doubt. Save others by snatching them from the fire. To others, show mercy mixed with fear, hating even the clothing stained by corrupted flesh. Guys, whenever we're doing a ministry like Halloween, it's actually we're tackling topics that churches won't talk about. It's just that simple. And then we get a lot of backlash. We get a lot of people on Facebook trying to tear us down and all this other kind of stuff. And that's okay. It's all right. Because blessed is he that is persecuted in the name of the Lord. So we'll take all of that. All right? So I just wanted today to just do some simple things. If you've been part of Halloween in any capacity, whether you've given, whether you've served in the actual production or you've donated food or anything like that, will you please stand up? Just stand up. No matter what you've done. I want you to see this, guys. I want you to understand that there's a huge community of our church that is actually going to the places where we're supposed to go. Okay? Now, I want you to understand that there's other things that we can do. There's people that are praying. You know, Marianne, where's she at? I don't know where she's at. She might be back there. Marianne? Thank you so much. Let me just let you guys know, yesterday was John's birthday. And Marianne said, I'm making it to pray. I don't know if you guys know what John used to do. John would sit there all night around the prayer room, and he would pray all around the prayer room. And I would sit there, and I would walk in after the hell scene. I would walk in, and I would sit there and hear him speaking in tongues and edifying the church through words of knowledge and wisdom. Right? And he would be praying over that prayer room. Guys, let me just let you know, when Marianne came in, she said, I'm going to try to make it. I'm going to try to do it. I'm going to try to do it. You don't know what it did to my heart, Marianne. You don't know what it did to my heart. And I know it was kind of probably hard, but I know at the same time, you felt called to do it. So, I just wanted to say happy birthday in heaven, John. Happy birthday. And I know for a fact he was probably up there. I told her last night, he's probably sitting there going, Lord, please bless all those people that are down there right now that have extension cords plugged in where they're not supposed to be and all this other kind of stuff. God, I've been there. I know how crazy they are. Please protect them. Please. So thank you guys for serving, and if you can have a seat, we're going to get started with the celebration service. I don't want to do a lot of talking. I just want the testimonies to do the talking. Is that okay? Is that all right? Okay, and I do have like a little short message for you. It's if you listen really quick, it'll only take an hour and a half. What? I'm preaching like you now. See, that's what I'm saying. All right, you guys ready? Of course, I learned that from Pastor Lewis over there. I'm just saying. All right. Does anybody in here have a story or a testimony that Halloween impacted their life? Anybody? All right. Kaya, come on. Come on up. Or we can do a thing. Let's do a thing. Where's it at? It's over there? All right. There you go.
So for those of who don't know me, as of last year, I was almost completely blind. I had my full vision gone in my right eye, and all of my vision almost completely gone in my left eye. And I decided to dedicate my life to God, and I went in the prayer room, and I looked at Melissa, and I was like, I'm ready. And she was like, okay, well, first let's give out your testimony, like, give your life to God first. I wasn't even in there to get my eyes healed. And so after I gave my life to God, she looked at me and she's like, let's pray for your eyes. Let's fix this. I was like, okay, I'm ready. And so everybody stood around me and they started praying for me. And they were covering my eyes and they're like, okay, open them. And I was like, whoa, okay. I can see shadows. And they were like, okay, well, we're not done. And so they prayed again, and I could see out of my left eye. And they were like, well, it's still not done. And they prayed one more time, and they're like, open your eyes. And I just dropped to the floor, and I cried. Melissa held me in her arms, and I was like, I can see. And from that moment forward, it really, really opened my eyes to God, and I've sat here and I've dedicated my life to Him. So.
Amen. Amen. That's awesome. Awesome. John. Wom wom. It's that one right there. All right. Tell them who you are. What happened?
I'm John, and about 2 weeks ago, I went to Halloween. Wow, you guys know how to worship. That's one. And I went there, prayed about something that was bugging me, you know, after getting scared by him. But went there and prayed about it. And when I was closing my eyes, I always say this bright light. And my eyes were shut. And so I went home, and I was just sitting there going home. And all week long, food line, cutting grass. And I kept hearing this voice in my head, you need to go back. You need to go back to church. You need to go back. So I finally said, okay, I'm done. I'm cutting grass. People are looking at me like I'm nuts, talking to myself. And then I went ahead and said, okay, I'm going back. So I came back, talked to security, went over there to talk to them. And I turned around and said, you know what? I've been hearing this voice all week long. I told them, and I had to go back. So I went back, got saved again. I don't know how that works, but I got saved again. And I tell you right now, it's bugging me all week to come in here and do this. And I actually called my brother-in-law up and say, hey, what are you doing right now? And I went over there and talked to him. And I was like, well, I can picture him all in their underwear. But but he told me how to do it. And you know, I'm doing it totally different. But him and my sister-in-law would sit there and say, I'll be cutting their grass on a Sunday. Wow, that's an eye-opener. So I went over there and cut their grass, and they look at me and go, why don't you go to church with us? And I was like, well, I got to cut grass. And I was putting lawn care first. I was putting food line first. I wasn't even putting my family first. And finally, I am. You know, I mean, I love my kids. He does a great job. And I tell you right now, you guys know how to worship. I mean, This little woo didn't work. It was more like, woo! All right? But you need to work on that.
Okay. Hey. Hallelujah. You don't know how daughters pray at camp for their dad to be radically saved and changed. And you are an answer to their prayer. So yes, it's a shameless plug for camp. We're going to be going to camp next year. So just letting you know, going to convention in just about 2 weeks. So anybody else have any testimonies? Anybody? All right? Catherine? Look at you. Oh, Lord. She came to preach. She's got a notebook. I bet you got slides, too, don't you? She does. Whoa. Should I give you a mic? Or?
Yeah, I don't think I could talk that loud.
Oh, I don't know about that.
There you go. Good morning to all of y'all. I'm going to take a couple steps.
You got to talk into the mic.
Oh, I have. Oh, okay, I'm sorry. I want to take you a couple steps back to last month, which was Missions Month. And this leads into Halloween, because Halloween is a missions, okay? I got the privilege and honor to go to 2 mission trips, the Dominican Republic and to Montana. And I got a couple of pictures of Montana, if it can come up, where we went, and our service was we helped rebuild the outside of the missionary's house. We did a service with Bradley. We've talked to the kids and stuff like that. It was a wonderful trip. And we just, the service there for those kids, putting the smiles on those kids' faces, you know, and they almost thought it was Christmas because they got so many gifts. Okay, there it is. You can see those pictures there where we're doing stuff.
It's right there, too.
Oh, okay. I'm not used to that. Okay. All right. Then we went to Dominican Republic. And these pictures here, the reason why I'm showing this picture is so y'all can see that I did go, because I don't like my picture taken. But on my right-hand side is the beds that the kids slept in and the shoes that the kids slept in and wore. All right. We were able to get them new beddings, new shoes, and just give them all kinds of gifts of clothes and stuff with the different churches that went. And by the help of Susan, she's the one that supplied these pictures for us, because she's one of the ones that went with us. Laura, the one that's back there beside Susan, was my partner for a mentor of a little boy named Estarzelin. When we got back, I wrote him a letter letting him know how much I loved him and I hoped that he would keep the faith in the Lord. This envelope here came to me in the mail, which I was so surprised that he actually sent it. Sorry.
Do you need help?
Yeah.
Can you hold something?
Yeah, just open that up in the middle.
All right.
There you go. Yeah. Last night I had help from Michael and Elizabeth to help me read this, because it's in Spanish. And I've had this letter since 2005, I think it is, that we went. But anyway, I never did know what it said. So between the help of them two, this first letter, it says, "For my friend from Estarzelin, I hope God bless you. He loves you, and I love you. For God bless whoever has my letter. I write this letter with love, and I'll be praying for you, your friend Estarzelin."
What can I do? Tell me what I can do. All right.
This here is this little artwork. It says, for my friend Catherine from Estargeland, I had so much fun with you. God loves you very much. Team God. So that was great. Very great. Okay, now I'm going to back up the picture of, go back to the Montana one. Dominican. Get to the picture that has the shower to it. You ain't got that one?
Two. Yeah, they have two.
Okay, all right. Anyway, how many of y'all like to take your showers in your house? Hot shower, cold shower, whatever. These kids did not have a shower inside. Their shower was on the outside and did not work properly. The guys there fixed those showers, but it was still on the outside, but they still had a shower. So, you know, we did a lot for those kids up there. And I just thank God that he gave me the opportunity to go to that. Now for Halloween. Last year, there was a little boy that came through by. Wilbur Grubb's granddaughter helped me out on this here. It was her best friend. He was 14 years old. I sit there with him for over an hour talking to him. He would not give his heart to the Lord. He refused. I talked to him and talked to him. He left the building without giving his heart to the Lord. One Tuesday afternoon, Pastor Steve and them were having a staff meeting. She texted me. She said, do you remember my friend Grayson? I said, yes, I do. He gave his heart to the Lord. I wanted to shout so bad, but they were in their meeting, and I didn't want them to think something had happened to me. But later I had talked to a pastor, and I told him, I said, I've got to give this testimony. So finally I get to give it. So I was glad. So I've been keeping up with him, and she says that he's doing real good. So he still has his heart for the Lord. Amen. This year, as y'all know, I work in heaven. Kelly and Michael have really done justice to our people that come through. They have touched all of us, even our angels. They have touched us too. Michael comes up and surprises us and speaks in Spanish. And he gets to talk to the kids, the adults, in Spanish. We had a lot of healings in that group. Yeah, we had a lot of healings in that. I just want to praise God, thank God, that he's allowed me to do all these missions, and I pray that he gives me the good help to do more missions, because that's my heart. Amen. Thank y'all.
Amen. Thank you so much. Thank you. Hey, I just want to kind of go somewhere real quick with some things. You got something over there? I got two mics. Yeah, what? It's in stereo. Oh. So anyway, I need you guys to do me a favor really quick. I want you to be praying for Michael, actually the guy that played Jesus, and one of the guys. It was Kelly too, and I want you to pray for him, because it was sort of like a what? What? I can't hear you. I'm sorry. I've got two mics. Oh, Jacob also played. Yeah, but I'm talking about this for a certain reason, because Michael, what ended up happening is he had not used his Spanish in a long time, and it was sort of like a supernatural thing that actually happened. Whenever a Spanish group came in, it automatically just kicked back in. Right? And he said, man, I didn't speak Spanish like that whenever I was you know, having to speak Spanish. And he said, it was like it was just kind of flowing. Right? So guys, I want you to understand, and let me just say this, because we have a sister church that just right down the road, that's a Pentecostal Spanish church, and Pastor Lewis, he would allow them to use the building after we got through using the building here. And what would end up happening is I would have to come in sometimes and run sound and all that kind of stuff, and they would have revivals in here. right? And let me just let you know, you can tell the difference between when people are speaking in Spanish and people are speaking in tongues. I'll say that again. You can tell the difference between when people are speaking in Spanish and people are speaking in tongues. See, I knew nothing about the service. I walk in, I'm running sound, right? They have their speaker and everything, and he's going at it, and man, they've got the screens, they're doing everything. And then all of a sudden, boom, the Holy Spirit drops, right? And the reason I'm telling you this is because I wanted to thank Michael, first of all, for being able to just be obedient to the Holy Spirit and turn and just go, bam, when he was playing Jesus. And he walk out, he would not know what kind of crowd would be in front of him, or Kelly wouldn't either, you know, and Jacob wouldn't either. But I'm sitting here going, wow. Whenever, I'll never forget the first time I was sitting there in hell, I was on my little elevator thing, and then he's sitting there, and he's talking, and then all of a sudden, he just goes, boom, and you could feel the Holy Spirit just go throughout the place. So, now, there's another person, Elizabeth, thank you very much for going in, and every time we basically had a Spanish group, she was able to go in and interpret also. Okay? Not Elizabeth Gringa. She was over here going, yeah, thanks. Thank you. We call her the Spanish Elizabeth. That's what we call her. All right. So let's get started. All right. Let me ask you to do something real quick. I know that I said that earlier. But pray for Michael. Pray for all the people. But I want us to do one simple thing real quick. Guys, we've literally had hundreds of people come and give their life to Christ. We've had probably, I'm going to say by now, at least 1,000 people that have been prayed for. Just prayed for. We've had actually a bunch of healings. Right? We've had, rededications. People that thought everything was good. Right? So, can we just do one simple thing? Can we just stand up and just give a roar of just applause and Lord Jesus, we praise your sweet and holy name. Hallelujah. Holy is the Lamb. Oh God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Holy is the Lamb. Thank you, Father God. I praise your sweet and holy name. Lord. Holy. Holy is the Lamb. Hallelujah. I need you guys to do me a favor real quick. You got a video ready? All right. Can we turn the lights out real quick? I want a simple thing to happen here. I don't need this, I don't think. Let me put this up here for a second. I want you guys to pay attention to something real quick and see what happens here.
It was definitely a different spin on things. Usually when you think of Halloween, you think of scary monsters, ghosts, ghouls, stuff like that. But to interpret Jesus and Satan and teach you about the differences between heaven and hell and right and wrong was definitely a great way to work Halloween. I enjoyed it a lot.
It was unexpected. I didn't think there was going to be so many things that would make me question myself. I did not expect my perspectives to change on some things. But it also showed me that the choices I make every single day determines how my life is going to be the rest of my life. And I just thought that was so important, and it was great.
I love that it's hitting things that people are experiencing and questioning and trying to find answers in the Bible for now. And the crazy part is, I'm probably guilty of it myself, We just want to love people because that's what the Bible says, but we're not steadfast and strong on what the Bible says. And for them to bring out those kinds of topics and conversations, like I have a teenage son, and this is probably conversations he's having with his friends at school on his video games, and to just have the reminder to be bold and stick to what God said, even as a Christian, you know, or to tell you this is what Christ means by this, you know, we can't keep finding comfort in our own depictions of the Bible.
It showed me that God actually cares about me, and that no matter how alone I am loved and cared for, no matter what I'm going through, and no matter who on this earth doesn't really care for me. And it showed me that I can change people's lives in a way that I never thought I could.
That was great. thought the heaven scene was absolutely genuine. I went into it thinking it might be a little cheesy, and then definitely felt tangible presence of the Holy Spirit in there. That was intense.
Actually, I see him more now than how I did. I see how greater he is, and it's amazing that he forgives you so easy like that, even if it was addiction or anything. He just forgives you like that.
Well, for me, was that everything is a choice, and I was a little bit apart from God, but I'm realizing, like, wow, I have been this far away from God. Like, from now on, I'm going to be more close to Him and make the right choice. Never leave Him out of my life.
When we were in hell, Satan looked at me and he said, "The blood, their blood is on your hands." And as a children's pastor, I take my job, excuse me, my calling, take it very seriously. But when he looked at me and said that, I know this is all play, but I know that I still have a job to do, and I know that God's called me and he's anointed me, and I'm going to do everything I can to share the love of Christ with as many kids as I can. I have a 17-year-old son who come with me tonight who's been away from the Lord. He rededicated his life to the Lord. So I would say that everyone needs to experience Halloween. You will be impacted.
All right. I've just got a couple more people I need to talk to. Is that cool? Everybody good? All right. Drew, can you come up for a second? He's sitting there going, "What? What?" All right. I don't know if it got turned off or what. Is this on? Okay. Okay. All right, I just wanted to ask you, this is like your first year actually being able to participate and everything, so
yeah.
What did it mean to you to be able to do that?
So this is definitely our first year to be able to participate. Last year was our first year here, and we got to go through it, and it was amazing to experience that side of it. We said from the time we saw it and went through it, that next year we wanted to be a part of it, my wife and I. And this year we got to do just that, to stick to our commitment and our promise. And I was blessed to be a spirit guide. And I got to see them last year, and it was pretty crazy to see what they do and how they do it. And I was like, man, I'm so loud. I would be perfect for that. Thankfully, my wife signed me up because I was like, I don't know. But no, it was definitely great because you get to see people react genuinely, kind of behind closed doors because they can't see who you're looking at. And I think that's the best part that I got to experience, is to see people's reactions to the different scenes. I got to go through 1 through 4 and then into hell as well. And I think that's the greatest part of the walkthrough, is people's genuine reaction to what they're witnessing and what they're going through. Just like the video testimony there. you know, it's definitely been powerful in our lives in just how we're operating and what we're able to do, and it's changed us in a big way. And I just want to thank you for giving me that opportunity to lead people and to guide people through the different scenes. I've been really excited, really stoked to be a part of it and this church, and I just want to say thank you for that.
Well, thank you, man. Thank you so much. Greatly appreciate it.
Yes, sir.
All right. Some of you might not remember, or may know him, but you may not. His name is Bliss, and he was one of our very first spirit guides ever, and he did it like amazingly. He would be like, this way, and then, you know, they would take him, and so we finally found somebody louder than Bliss, so you get the Bliss Award. All right, Bradley, you gave the call a lot. Would you mind kind of, here, I'll just hand it to you so you don't have to come up front, I guess.
Hey, I'll come up front. That's all right.
Okay.
I'm not sure.
You can tell he's a preacher, can't you? I get up front. Come on.
Hallelujah. Hey, I want to say thank you, Pastor Steve. Thank you, Pastor Paul, for just allowing me to give the invitation for many of the nights here at Helloween. I just want to take a quick moment, if I could. If you have participated in the prayer room, maybe it was a night, maybe it was most nights, and you were with us doing battle, because we're at the battlefield for the souls of mankind in that prayer room every night. Could you just take a moment, just stand if you can where you are? I want to just make sure you guys are acknowledged. These are the soldiers fighting, doing battle against the kingdom of darkness up front, face to face. And can we just give a hand of appreciation for each one? Thank you. Thank you all very much. You see, by the time we get to the prayer room and by the time we get to the invitation, it's clear to first know this. The ministry is already active, okay? The ministry is already active, even from the maze, okay? Even from the concessions, when you're seeing the smiley faces and the accommodating spirit and the welcoming that we see, it's all a team effort. It's all a family effort. So when you're going through the scenes, the ministry is already active. Satan is being dismantled scene by scene by scene. And for the actors and for those who have given the hours and the time to make everything just right, where it hits home and hits hard, the souls that come in from that hell room into the what we call the waiting room before the final scene, like I say, each time I get a chance to give that invitation, I say, well, you made it through hell and back. And it's good to have that, because you do get some chuckles, you do get some laughs, and you get a moment for you see these souls, some of them are young kids, and they're clutching on to their moms and dads, and they're wondering, man, I don't ever want to see that again. And I get to give this invitation as a reminder too, that every man, by the word of God, says this, is appointed a time to once die and then face judgment. And they get a moment to really think about the choices that they've made and the choice that they get to make. Because I remind him that there are millions and millions and millions of souls in an eternity separated from God at that very moment that are clawing and scratching and biting and retching for just a moment to be in their shoes if they could.
That's right.
For just a millisecond. Their hearts are ready. Their hearts are ready and they're prepared to go and give their life to Christ. We introduce them to the final scene. It's almost like a wedding scene. They get to go through these doors and sit at the tables with these men and women of God who have already prepared in prayer for them before they ever seen their face, to see an accommodating and smiling and loving face to come alongside them and introduce them to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Folks, there's nothing better. I'd be hard-pressed to find an outreach, to find a ministry so raw, so genuine, so powerful, so up close, so personal, so brutally honest. And I want to say thank you, church, for praying. Thank you, church, for giving. Thank you, church, for continuing to pray. Even if you can't make it to the prayer room, pray for the prayer workers. I don't know how many times, Pastor Paul, have we been attacked night after night. It's almost like, okay, what are we going to face tonight? How is the devil going to lose again tonight? Because that's exactly what happens. We are kicking his tail, and he's not liking it, folks. I say all this to also be a reminder. We've got two more nights. The job's not finished. The job's not done. If you can be there tonight as a prayer worker, step in. Be there on time. Be there at 6 o'clock. Get ready for 6:30 prayer as we come together and get prepared for battle again. If you can be there tomorrow night on Halloween night, this is the Super Bowl of outreach. Be ready. Be ready with the full armor of God. Amen. Get ready for battle. Because the job's not finished and the job's not done. And if I could say one more thing about giving this invitation, Pastor Paul. I tell you what. It's the easiest job. It's the easiest job of all. Because it's just simple. You just remind them what they just seen. And you let them know you have an opportunity to live a life different, be different outside that exit door than the way you walked in. Because if you go through these scenes and you go through scene after scene, you say, oh, wow, that shook me up. Boy, that was scary. And you live exactly the same than the way you walked in. Then you have a seared conscience and it's all for naught. Keep us in prayer. Keep battling. Keep going. Because there's a great and mighty reward for us as a church in the kingdom of heaven.
Amen.
Thank you, Pastor.
Amen. Thank you, sir. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. All right, guys. Is there anybody else that maybe worked the prayer room or anything like that? They have something they want to say, because I've got to get on with this because the Baptists are beating you to lunch. I'm just letting you know right now. Melissa. This is Melissa. She helped head up the prayer room.
Hi, guys. I get the privilege of heading up the prayer room and guiding these prayer warriors through each night. I just wanted to speak to the fact that in the prayer room, we've not just seen salvations and rededications. We've also seen the healings. We've seen baptisms in the Holy Spirit. But one of the biggest things that we've been seeing in the prayer room this year is prayers over anxiety and freedom from anxiety and fear. You know, we spent some time a couple of years ago contained in our homes, afraid to go out and be in public and around people. And there's still so many people that are afraid to leave their homes and interact with other people, to sit this close to another person, to stand and talk face to face with another person. And we've had so many people come in that are overwhelmed with this anxiety of being in public and being around people, and we've had the opportunity to pray for that. So our numbers, you know, in years past, we've had two boards full of names. This year, the board is just one board, but that's just a small representation of the people that have come in and the lives that have been affected. We talked last night in the meeting that, you know, we don't know whenever youth groups and church groups and families leave this building what kind of conversations they have on the way home. We've had calls weeks later where people have said, you know, on our way home, our entire van of children gave their lives to the Lord. You know, we had to pull over to the side of the road so that we could have a conversation with them and pray with them and let them accept Jesus. So we don't know when they leave this building what kind of seeds we've planted in their hearts. So keep praying for everybody that came through and everybody that will come through the next two nights. Just keep praying for them that God will continue the work that he has started.
Amen.
Thank you.
Amen.
And thank you for all of your support.
Amen. I've asked like several times if people want to come up and give any testimonies or anything, and if that's it, I'm going to get started. You got Mark? Okay, come on. Are you like Catherine? Are you going to preach? Just ask. I'm just kidding.
Thank you, Pastor Paul. Appreciate the opportunity to just be able to share for just a minute. This is my first year with Helloween, and I have to say that God couldn't have positioned me in a better place than to be in that prayer room. And like you've already heard and has already been shared with you, we have seen healings take place. The very first couple nights that we were there, a young man came in. George will remember this. His leg was injured when he was young. He had been struggling with pain for years. And we laid hands on him, and we prayed for him. And that young man walked out of there healed and whole, no pain. Glory to God. Because that's what happened. God did it. The second one that I have to share with you is, you know, another guy came through with his mother. And we heard him, and when he came out of hell into the waiting area, wheezing and coughing and just having a real problem with his bronchial tubes. And he came in, and again, we laid hands on him, and we prayed for him. And he walked out of there free and clear, breathing normal, no wheezing, no coughing. And I'm telling you, that is God moving. Amen. And I just want to thank God for the opportunity, Pastor Paul, that I had to be in there to serve that way. I can't thank God enough for that.
Amen.
And thank you.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Mark. Hey, guess what? That opportunity is open to everybody. Yes, sir. Come on, George.
I just want to bring it down to a personal level. First little girl that sat down in front of me, she was very first night, very first person to sit down in front of me. She's about 10, 11 years old. Mom and Dad, I asked her, I said, you know, what do you want to pray about? And she wanted to accept the Lord. And I said, was your mom and dad Christians? Yes, they are. You know, so I prayed with her, and explained to her that it wasn't just a prayer. She needed to be in the Word. She needed to pray. Since her parents were Christians, she needed to pray with them. And so I got the opportunity. I said, well, are you with your youth pastor? She looked around the room and said, no, there's my dad standing right there at the table where the literature was at. And I'm thinking, that's a good daddy. He's in there keeping an eye on his daughter, making sure she's okay. So I got the opportunity to walk her over to her father and tell him, your daughter has accepted Jesus Christ. He broke out into tears. And I said, and I told her that you're her best friend. That she can come to you anytime because she has a father who loves Jesus. And that you can trust your daddy with anything in your life. That's the kind of things that you get to experience. And the young man with the bronchial issue that was healed the week before, his mom and his dad sat down at the table with Rita and I. Both of them were hurting with severe pain. The Lord healed them both. They both got healed. They came back the next week. They didn't even look like the same people. They had joy on their face. They were happy. And they brought their son to be healed. Okay. Her son was healed. He was gay, like he said, like Mark said, the man could hardly breathe, and the Lord healed him. There's one other thing I'd like my wife to tell, one thing about that last young man. I want you to testify that to the church about that. Come here, Rita. Please. This is important. This is important because it speaks to our culture and what we're facing.
My heart has just been really heavy over some of the young people that have came through. Because like I've said, the numbers on a board don't tell a story at all. It doesn't tell the story because there are so many others that we have reached. And a lot of them are Christian people. People you sit with in church every day that are fighting a battle. And we've had those to come in and we've been able to help fight those battles. But the last young man that I prayed for has really been on my heart. He came in with two friends and they had brought him with their church group. He was not a part of their church group, but they'd brought him in. And when he sit down and I ask him, I said, well, what can I pray with you about? And he just looks at me. He says, I've never prayed before. Not only had he never prayed before, but he had no idea who Jesus was. And I said, we have failed the generations badly. When I grew up, everybody knew about Jesus. But we have people now that don't even know who he is. But I had the chance and the opportunity to sit with him and go through the scriptures with him and explain who Jesus was and to see a young man accept Christ and his life be changed. I ask you all to continue to pray for these children. That some way, somehow, the Lord will put people in their paths. That they will be introduced to Jesus. As I told George this morning that I felt like in the prayer room, it's not just the salvations. There are so many needs, so many broken people. That I feel like our world, we are in shipwreck. We're out on the ocean and we're in shipwreck and we're doing our best to throw out as many lifelines as we can. Let's throw out as many life preservers as we can. And that's where I feel like we're at. We've got to get those life preservers out to the people.
Amen. 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 All right. I'm gonna just go ahead and go with this real quick. All right, if you don't mind, I'm just gonna put this over here, or you can hold it. It's an award. All right. Okay, guys, do me a favor real quick. I want you to, can you bring up the scripture for me real quick, the Hebrews? Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. Let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. I believe the KJV says basically the author and finisher of our faith. So let me just ask you this question. If you can you bring these lights down, like these top lights and everything? And I want you to watch this video real quick, if you don't mind, and just see what's happening. Be sitting there going, what the heck is that? It was this piece of paper. This exact same piece of paper. How many dots did you see? Two. Are you sure? Play that back real quick, if you don't mind. Now watch, there's what? You can crank out the music, it's okay. That one looks a little bigger, doesn't it? How many? Three. It's really simple. Watch this. What happens? Wait a second. What? Whoa, whoa. Guys, I just want to tell you, this is what happens with us in life. We might have some things that we failed at, and we might have some things that's happened to us. Right? And if we focus on it, it'll be the biggest thing in our life. Right? But see, what we often don't do is this simple thing. We don't think about the author and the finisher of our faith. We concentrate on the dots in our lives. I was so bad when I did this. I did this. It was bad. And we don't see the blank that's there. We don't see the openness that's there that the story can still be written. Are you hearing what I'm saying today? Don't concentrate on the little dots where you may have messed up. Concentrate on the author and the finisher of your faith that's writing your story. See, there's tons of blank space here. There might be a couple more dots even. But the rest of the space says, I love you. That's what the rest of the space says. And it says it over and over and over and over and over and over and over. And I'm being redundant and redundant. And I'm saying things over and over and over and over. So you can get it. He loves you. There's nothing else you can do. There's nothing you can do better. There's nothing. He loves you. You can't make Him love you more than He loves you. That's religion. Trying to work your way to Him when He freely gave Himself to us and for us. Don't get stuck in religion. I'm trying to get you to understand just a simple thing. The story that's being written. Look at all the blank space. Don't go back and say 20 years ago, this is what I did. This is how horrible I am. Unless you're using it as a testimony, as a stepping stone for somebody else to get out of what they're in. That's how your story becomes a stepping stone instead of a stumbling block. So please, wake up. Don't concentrate on the three dots. Concentrate on Him. Stay focused on Him. And that, my friends, I just did a 5-minute sermon for fine arts. There you go. Kids are going to be stealing my stuff now. Guys, I don't know what's happened in your life. I really don't. Some of you, you come and you talk to me and stuff. But I will tell you this. All you got to do is look around you and you can see that time is short. But I've been hearing over and over. We were talking about last night, a guy named Eric Cheney came through. He's got a youth ministry up in Stanley, North Carolina. And he just said, when he came through, he just said, it was so powerful. I could feel the Holy Spirit all the way through. And then another friend of ours, this guy, a kid named London, he actually used to do Halloween years ago. He lives in Concord now. But he just said, man, he said, I don't think I felt the Holy Spirit like I felt it these couple of times. Because he's already brought like a couple of people and they've given their life to Christ. Right? Oh, and I guess I need to remind you this. Halloween is a tool for this church to be able to use to reach our lost family and friends. In case you don't know that, and like I said before, other churches are figuring it out, and they're bringing their family and friends, and they're getting radically saved and changed and healed. See, guys, this is what's awesome. There's been people that have given their life to Christ for the very first time. What?
Amen.
Woo? Man, Ric Flair does better than that. See there, John? I'm telling you. I know. See? All right? People are rededicating their lives to Jesus.
Amen.
Right? People are getting baptized in the Holy Ghost. Even the Babticostals. All right? And people are being healed. Guys, I don't know how to say that anything other than these signs shall follow them. I told the team the other night, I said, I'm not sitting here wondering where the signs are. I'm not sitting here going, oh God, please just show us a sign. Because last time I checked, he said, oh, what a wicked generation this is. It looks for signs and wonders. No, see, the signs and wonders are supposed to be following us. Right? It's for the unbeliever to actually be able to believe. You guys getting this? All right. So this is all I want to do. I thank you for sitting through this rambling of me sitting here saying a few things, but the testimonies are what you need to take with you. You know that there's a person at your work or there's a person at where you maybe drop your kids off at school or whatever, do you realize there's a person that needs to hear the message of Jesus Christ? I used to tell the kids this all the time. I would say, how much do you have to hate somebody not to tell them about Jesus? I'll wait. So you've got the greatest thing ever inside of you. And when somebody's beside you and they're hurting and they're broken, And you're just going to get up and walk away. Because maybe you have a meeting to go to or something's happening. Guys, we have a broken world. You guys didn't really say really what was happening in the prayer room truly. Because you were seeing more people praying for their broken brothers and sisters, Christians, than anything. See, that's the truth. Because right here, sitting in this room, there's depression. Right? There's mental illness. There's fear, anxiety, right here sitting in this room. I wonder if it's just sitting beside you or it's oppressing you. Which one is it? See, that's what we need to figure out. We need to find out what's happening right now. If the church has an oppression, it's time to break the chains of oppression. I'm sorry. That felt like a sympathy clap. I'm sorry. I know that sounds, I'm not being ridiculous. I'm being truthful. Guys, if you don't understand, once again, these signs shall follow them. People being healed, people being changed their whole entire lives, dead being raised, whether it be spiritually or physically, that's where we need to be. Does it sound like I'm getting on to everybody? Huh? What? Does it sound like I'm getting on to everybody? Just be honest. Oh, I'm just being biblical. Sorry. Sorry. So please, everybody here, guess what? I'll never forget, golly, who was here? I think Odell Jackson, we were talking about it. We had a guy named Sammy Hall come here. You probably remember Sammy Hall. Sammy Hall. You remember? He had speakers way taller than whatever we've got here. He came out and he was wearing this little satin thing that was white and had rhinestones all over it and had I think it was a Rickenbacker guitar, if I remember correctly. And man, I'm going to tell you straight up, and I hope I don't want to sound like really bad, but they were loud as crap. I'm serious. They were just loud. You know what I'm saying? I'm talking loud. And I'll never forget, I guess Pastor leaned over, Pastor Clark, he says, that's pretty loud. We probably won't be having any of this anymore. Guys, I want to let you know that when we're having stuff like this, when these things are happening, our praise should be louder than whatever this band could ever do. Our praises should be loud, not because we play a cowbell song. Oh, that's my favorite song. Praise God. Bring it in the sheets. No. Not because it's your favorite song. It's because I can express myself in worship. Because I know that He is worthy of praise and He is worthy. That's where we're supposed to be. So guys, don't think I'm getting on to you. I'm trying to reach into you to say one simple thing. Our Sunday morning should change drastically. There should be joy. There should be peace walking into this house. All the oppression should be broken, should be done. Now, does that mean you're not going to be attacked? Of course. It comes with the territory. If they nailed Jesus to a cross, come on now. You don't think that they're not going to hand you yours? We need to make sure that we're focused. If you're not in your word, guys, get in your word. If you're not in prayer, I love Les Brown. He said, prayer is the oil for the frictions in life. So guys, be in your prayer closet. Don't be a closet Christian. Wait a second. Sounds like something's happening right now. Don't be a closet Christian. The only reason you need to be sitting in that prayer closet is to bring forth the power of the Holy Spirit within your life so that when you walk out boldly. You don't walk out defeated. That's probably what's been happening. I think that people are probably fatalist sometimes. They just think in fatal things. Guys, my family has had hell poured over us, basically. And we would still come and we would still worship and we would still say, you know what? God's good, no matter what. No matter what. You know, we always say that. You probably know it. I'll say it. God is good all the time. Okay, now start believing it. I dare you. I dare you to believe it. So, I love you guys. I appreciate you guys serving in Halloween. The celebration starts actually tonight. Because we got two more nights. Two more nights. I don't know. Wait, golly. This should be, you guys should be erupting in praise and worship because we've got two more nights that we get to share the gospel of Jesus. Oh, wait a second. We don't just got two more nights. We got the rest of our lives to tell people about Jesus. Okay? It don't stop with an event. Your life is the event. Everybody getting this? Yes or yes? All right. Dear Heavenly Father, we love you and we worship you, Lord God. We praise your sweet and holy name. Are we supposed to be doing anything? I'm sorry. I was ADD. Were we supposed to do a song or something? We're going to do a song? Are we going to do it? Let's do it. All right. Dear Heavenly Father, we love you and we worship you, Lord God. We're going to worship you right now. Lord, thank you so much for your time that you took to set aside heaven to receive the souls that came in. And you threw a party. You threw a party in their honor. Lord God, we love you and we worship you, Lord God. Thank you so much for us being able to just worship you and praise you. Christ's sweet and holy name, all of God's kids said, amen. Amen. Let's worship.